Accession number 11961, rule 6.
Mr. Miller, Rule 6. We were talking about your training at Aldershot,
yeah.
as a cook. You were telling me how they used to train you how to cut things up fairly. Yeah. That was another... Was that difficult to do?
No. No. Quite easy. In their way of showing you how to do it. You see? You generally get... You go into restaurants, you get people who'll strip all the wetsuit off celery, wherefore if you cut it down, sense to sense, you cut it through the outside and the inside as well. See? And so anybody to taste of it, have a bit of each. Well, they tell you there's nothing wasted in a cookhouse. Yeah. Now I got myself into trouble. I was doing
a shoulder shot.
I was doing some celery.
Yes.
And naturally enough, I got my knife and I cut all the green leaves of that. And then I started cutting down the other as I was taught. The sergeant come along, he said, "What you doing with that?" I said, "Putting it in the pig bin." "You put that in the soup," he says. "Nothing wasted in a cookhouse. That'll flavour that," he says. "The green thing I never dreamt of." But that's the way these things come to you when you're told.
Anything else you remember that you were taught?
Oh, well, yes. Got a bit of pastry left. You use that up. You start thinking in what way. And then you've got shards. And you cut three rings of pastry. And the big one, and then the other a bit smaller, and the other a bit smaller. And you flour it so they won't stick together. You flour it, place them all one on top of the other. And then you bend them in like that and squeeze them all at the back, and then you put a cross. You follow me? You put a cross the rings that you say you brought over, and then you open them out. You open them out like that, and then you've got all the curls, and you just give it a little smearing with milk before you put it cooking, because that gives it a shinier finish, you see. Then when you do the stalk, you don't cut it down straight, you take it like this.
In a bend.
That's it. And then on each bend, you take a leaf. You just mark it, the grain of the leaf. Go over it with milk and put that on the top. That's use your spare bit of pastry up.
And you've got a rose.
And you've got a rose, yeah.
Anything else you remember? Any other tricks they taught you, Aldershot?
Oh, there's lots of... These are things, eh?
Did they teach you how to recognise whether ingredients were good or bad? You know, like whether the fruit was a bit off or the meat was a bit off?
Oh, well, what they done before they come into the cookhouse, you know about that. And to cover that up, put some curry in.
So you'd use it even if it was a bit off?
Oh, put some curry in, yeah. Curry covers a lot of sins in the army, I'll tell you. Yeah.
Was it often that food would be bad?
No.
So it was just on the off,
yeah.
What about, I believe while you were at Aldershot, you discovered a particularly interesting way of boosting your income. Was that while you were at Aldershot?
Yes.
Could you tell me about that?
Yes.
That was very clever.
Yes. I went backwards and forwards to Aldershot about three times.
On these cooking courses?
On different courses. Now, this other one, as you've just mentioned, was that I'd been... you see, when I was a cook for this Bavarian battalion, the lads used to come down, cookie, if you're going to drop a base of soup, you know. And I'd give them a ladle full of soup, and they'd save some bread from the tea, and they'd have a whip out at the weekend, and they'd get me perhaps about five between them, you know, pennies and halfpennies. Well, it used to be appreciated. Well, while I was doing that, a sergeant come to me and he said, there was a fisherman lived just up the seafront. He used to walk by every...
This is when you went to the provisional battalion at Southminster?
Yeah.
OK,
carry on. Yeah, he used to come walking by every morning. Well, I'd been roasting some beef and some lamb and one thing or the other. And I asked him if he'd like a bucket of dripping. And he jumped at it, you know. So I let him have this here bucket, half a bucket of dripping. And I said, now bring your bucket back because I've signed for it. He goes, well, he comes the next morning and he brought a bucket full of cockles back, already boiled and already cooked. So I said to the sergeant, I said, you can put some cockles on the menu for the lads tonight. How's that? I told him. Oh, he said, we'll have some for the sergeant's mess and the officer's mess as well. I said, do what you like with them. So anyhow, it was in the menu. And soon after, he come to me and he said, officer's quarters in the morning, 9 o'clock, don't be late. I said, OK. I said, what's the trouble? Well, I don't know, he said. I thought, I've got myself into trouble giving the lads food that they shouldn't have, you know. So he didn't know. So anyway, I went and reported the next morning. And the officer gave me the papers. He says, here you are, he says. Return to the headquarters, he says. And you'll proceed to Grove Park. I said, where's Grove Park?
Now, hang on a minute. You moved on to when you go on to your steam engineer's course there. Hang on a minute, because I want to ask you some more about Southminster, if that's all right. Now, in your notes, you put a thing about how you'd got a dodge of doubling your money by making money over to your mother, and then she'd send it to you.
Oh, yeah, now, yes, yes.
Could you tell me how that worked? Because I've never heard of anyone else. When did you find that out? Who gave you the idea?
Yeah, well, that was in the Warwicks. When I first joined the Warwicks.
Right.
When I first joined the Warwicks.
So you thought of it straight away?
They said to all the troops, they said, any of you lads want to make a grant to your parents, you can make it. 3 and 6, and 3 and 6 for yourself, and 3 and 6 for your parents. And they made my mother's money up to 12 and 6. And my mother, she used to write a letter on a Sunday, and she used to go down to the post office in Erdington. She used to get a drawer of money.
From the army,
12 and 6. She used to buy a 12 and 6 postal order, and she used to put the letter and the postal order in envelope, seal it, and post it to me where I was stationed. And I used to manage from the Friday until about the Tuesday on 3 and 6.
And did you have to pay barrack damages as well after that?
Oh, if there was any, yes.
So you wouldn't have much money to...
Well, you wouldn't. But, of course, as I say, you could get a word and a cup of tea for a penny at the YMCA, you see? And you could go and have a halfpenny game, halfpenny card of bingo. Of course, it was all halfpennies and pennies them days. They went over for money. But anyway.
And you did that straight away, wouldn't you? Did you do that all through your army career?
Yes, until I got sent to France. And when I got sent to France, of course, it was all more or less these.
Did any of the other lads do that, or just you?
Yes, I believe hundreds of them done it.
Who told you that idea, or did you think of it yourself?
It comes from the army.
There weren't really... Your mother wasn't really supposed to send the money back to you. Who thought of that?
Oh, no.
Who thought of that side of it?
Well, there's always a loophole in there.
And who thought of the loophole? Was it you, or was it you just heard about that loophole?
Well, of course, no, it was my mother's own suggestion.
So your mother thought of it?
Yeah.
And did it work? Were you caught out or anything?
Yes. No, we weren't caught out. She didn't want it. She didn't want the money. She didn't want the money at all. My people were very wealthy.
Did you start doing it again? I mean, when you got back, I mean, when you were at Aldershot and when you were at Southminster.
Did you start
doing it again?
No.
Why not?
Because I was earning good money then.
So you didn't need it?
I didn't need it. Yeah.
But it would... money's money. Did you just feel it wasn't right or something?
I'll tell you why. You see, I got a job through the mechanical transport.
Hang on, I'll come to that. So you'd never started it, and you just didn't bother to restart the system with your mother again?
No.
Righto. Now, at the Southminster place, what meals would you serve up and how would you prepare? How would you prepare breakfast, for instance?
You were
made a Lance Corporal, weren't you?
Yes, well, that was just for the protection stripe.
And how did you go about it? So how would you set breakfast up? What, would you have to get up early or what?
Oh, well, of course, you'd get up early or you'd cook it overnight and warm it up the next morning.
Was that more likely?
Bacon, you know.
How would you cook the bacon?
A big tray of bacon, about half as big as this bed. Cooking its own fat, keep turning it over.
And what sort of heat would you use?
Well, just your fire.
An open fire?
Yeah, all done with open fire.
So it would cook on the bacon tray?
Yeah, of course it would.
What was the bacon like? Was it good bacon?
Oh, yeah, very good. Here you go, good shoulder bacon and streaky bacon. a sticky bite with a bessie.
Was it thick cut or thin cut?
Oh, well, it varied, you know. It varied, you would.
And what would they get with that?
Well, they
have the bacon. What else would they have for breakfast?
Well, they
when you were doing it.
Well, they'd have the bacon, and they might they get some bread.
Would you bake the bread, or was that done somewhere else?
Oh no, that was all brought in by contractor.
What else would they get for breakfast?
They might have a tomato with it.
Would you fry it on the tree?
Well, just put it, when you got all your bacon out, put it in the fat.
Anything else?
Oh.
What about tea? Did you cook the tea? I mean, the actual tea drink.
Yes. Let's just make that. Let's make that in big billy cans, big buckets.
And how did they actually make army tea? Was there a secret to it?
No. They had sawyers, little boilers. And you boil your water, and then you put a packet of tea in the bucket, and turn your taps of your boiler hot water, and let it strain out, and then you can. Too strong, you can weaken it down by spreading it out in other buckets.
And would you put the milk in it as well?
Yes, you put the milk in, yeah. Oh, ah. You get the milk and you pour that in, and the sugar. Yeah.
So everyone had milk and sugar?
Yeah, oh, ah.
Now, what about dinner? What would they get for dinner?
Of course. As usual, some boiled potatoes and some boiled cabbage and with a roast lamb.
Now, how much of the preparation would you do, and how much would the fatigue party do? I mean, what would you actually do?
Well, of course, I used to do the cooking and supervising.
Which bits would you cook, you know?
Which one?
What part of the cooking would you do?
They had a lot to look after once you put the cabbage in and your spuds in.
So you'd sort of just tell them when to... They'd prepare it and peel them and get them ready.
Yeah.
And then you'd sort of put them in. And how did you go about the stews?
Well, the stews, they used to be quite simple. You cut the neck and cut the breast up and then you'd... You put lentils in or oatmeal or you could make anything up with.
There's no set recipe then?
No.
Now, I think you used big 2-gallon Dixies, didn't you?
They were big.
Were they 2-gallon ones? Or?
Yes, they would be 2-gallon. They're big oval ones, you know.
And I believe you've got a story about once you got the soap in it. Could you tell us that story? Go on.
No, one of the blokes done that. You see, we used to have the orderly officer come round and inspect the tables and everything after, you know. And he come and inspect the tables, so therefore the lads had to... They had to clean the tables. Well, we used to use that here blue vein soap. You've seen it, haven't you? Well, they're scrubbing. I'd got all the meat off the table, cut up on the table, all at the front and pushed at the back. This one kid must have been anxious. Got the Dixies on the floor and put in a portion of each in each Dixie, and he must have put all I myself have put, you know, give the lid, and so they see a tablet of bloody
the
soap.
Dixie lid.
Yes. And, of course, me and Inori, you put the lid back, and you put the Dixies, you one boil it in the front, and then as they boil, you put them down to the far end, and bring them from the far end to the front.
So, yeah.
See? And, you know, I had this one, kept boiling over. And I thought, good blimey, what's happened here? So I got my wooden spoon, I started stirring up, and all at once I picked this lump of bloody soap up. I thought, oh, what am I going to do now? Well, what I done, I got the Dixie and I emptied it all in the pig bin. Of course, all the troops and that there up the seafront, and I washed it out with that water, and then I took so many ladles out of all the other pots and made up another pot and hoped for the best. Well, nothing pleased me more than when the orderly officer come from out of the mess room and he says, no complaints, Cookie, or the two.
Now, you said the fire, there was one part you had colder and, you know, less hot than the other. You know, so it was an open trench fire, was it?
Oh, yes.
And would one part have you keep hotter than the other, deliberately?
No.
How did it work?
Now, here's a trench. You've got a long trench. Now, if the wind is blowing that way...
Yes.
You light your fire here at the front. And your heat blows right the way down to the end. Now, if the wind's blowing across that way, you've got a trench dug across that way. But you light a fire at that end and the heat blows through that way. Follow what I mean?
So you sight your trench according to the wind?
Well, you make them and then you have to notice the next day which way the wind's blowing. And whichever way the wind's blowing, you'll use that trench. Don't they?
Where were you while you were at Southminster? You were back with the Provisional Battalion, weren't they?
Yeah.
You said they were working on the sea, the sea defences or something, or the coastal defences.
Yeah.
You didn't have to join in that, did you?
Oh, no. No. I've got plenty to do cooking for them.
So, anything else you remember about your time at Southminster and cooking?
Well, of course, as I say...
I forgot. What about tea? What would they have for tea?
The tea?
The meal, not the drink. The evening meal. What would you cook for them then, or would you not cook?
Well, they might, in the evening, if you had boiled, we'll say, ham or something like that, they'd have a piece of bread and butter, and a little slice of ham or something like that for the tea.
So not much for you to do?
No. Not after what it was cooked. You cook that at night, see? And then you go cold for the next day, it's tea.
So who planned the menu?
Made the menu out.
The who?
The quartermaster. He allows you so much to use, and he also makes the menu out for the meals.
And he'd supply the food as well. He'd get the food for.
Oh, of course he does. Quartermaster gets everything.
So you just had to cook and to supervise the fatigue party.
That's all. Yeah.
Now, you were telling me, what did you used to make up that you got paid the lads used to have a whip round for you because you used to give them a little extra. What did you put in that extra? You didn't quite tell me all the things you used to put in. It was this business of saving everything, wasn't it?
Bones that was cut out of the meat. You get quite a lot of strength out of a marrow bone, you know. You do get some strength out of a marrow bone, and a few lentils, and a few pearl barley, what's left, see, from put it all in what they call a stock pot. Call it a stock pot, if you like. And you just give them a... You only want to give them a little ladleful.
And when would you give them that? In the evening or...
When they come down for it at night.
So they'd know you'd got it?
Yeah. They come down cooking. They got a drop of broth. Give them some.
So you'd give them it and then they'd just... Yeah. The whip round was like a tip, voluntary.
Well, it was a matter, I suppose, of appreciation.
Did you enjoy your work as a cook?
Yes, I was sorry to believe it.
Did you think you'd get posted out as a cook to a battalion on the Western Front? I mean, were you expecting that?
No.
You knew you were on home service?
Yeah.
So, what happened then when you came to leave? You said you'd got called up. You had to go and report to the office. You told me that.
Yeah.
And they said you had to go to Grove Park. Now, what was that all about? How come you had to go there?
Well, you see, we're coming back to where we begin now. When you joined the army, them days, they took all particulars of you. And one of the particulars was your trade of calling. Now, my parents put me in the steam engineering trade. But I wasn't in it 3 months before I enlisted. Because I'd been working for my dad and got fed up with that. And I went into this job. Well, now you see, that just shows throughout your career, all the while I was in the army, they got that, and I was a steam engineer by trade. It was nothing of the sort, really, because I'd only had 3 months. But when I got to Grove Park, and I told the sergeant major there, come on, he said, we'll make something of you.
Had you not wanted to go then?
Well, no, because I was quite satisfied with the job I'd got, you know, 9 to 5 of a week extra. But anyway, I see my mistake after. I made the mistake of my life when I joined the Warwicks with my friends. It was nice to be with your friends, but I lost myself a lot of money by doing that. If I'd have joined the mechanical transport...
Right at the start.
I should be quitting. Because they got me at Grove Park, they put me through the mechanical shops, they put me through the driving test.
Could you drive?
What?
Could you drive before you went there? A car or anything?
Oh, yes. I had a motorbike and sidecar, and I had a... Well, I had a Ford, what they call a gate change. Did you ever hear of them? Did you? There was no changing gear. It was all done with your foot. But
so you were used to cars and engines?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't exactly used to them, but I had drove around a bit with them, you know.